That means God doesn't show favoritism. And the gospel, the word of God, is always true and powerful. But the outcome change or differ depending on where the seeds land. The growth of these seeds isn't determined by their quality, but by the condition of the soil. It's by the condition of our hearts. So here's one question that I want us to keep asking ourselves as we go through the whole parable today. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? And let's dive in. The first type of soil is the path. Look at verse 4. It says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So what's so special about the path? What's so special about this type of soil? It is hard. It's because it is designed for people to walk on. Plants can hardly grow there. And notice this. The path is technically closest to the farmer. Imagine, like, someone is scattering the seeds, you know, doing the work. And not every seed travel, like, very far, isn't it? Some will naturally fall right in front of the farmer onto the path that he is walking on. But they can't take roots because the soil, the path, is too hard for them to grow. So what does the path represent? It represents a hardened heart. It refers to someone who might be close to God on the surface. You know, they show up at church, listening to sermon, and even sing worship songs, but their heart is closed off. They hear the message, but it doesn't sink in. They are not moved. They are not convicted. They have no response. It's like pouring water onto the rock, and it just rolls off without being absorbed. Some of you here know me a bit of my background. I used to work at Vodafone Retail, and my job title is called Customer Service Specialist. It sounds pretty fancy, isn't it? But the job is pretty straightforward. Like, what I do is basically helping customers with their phones, like transferring the data from the old phone to the new one, fixing some software issues, resetting their device, and helping them to recover their Apple ID. It's the hardest, trust me. Very often, like, customers will come to me with the phone that is not charging. They will say, like, I've tried different, like, chargers, different cables, but it's still not charging. Okay, sometimes it was the cable's issue, and sometimes it was because something was stuck inside the charging port, blocking the connection. But nevertheless, the phone was plugged in. But it looks like it was charging, but in fact, it is not. The charging logo didn't pop up. There's no power getting through, even though it looks like it is plugged in. And brothers and sisters, that is what the heart path looks like. You know, the seeds, the word of God is being scattered. The person sitting at the church hears a message, but they don't really believe in it. Their heart is blocked. They listen to it, but there's no response. It's like the phone that will not charge, even though it seems like they're plugged in. But nothing is flowing inside of the phone. Brothers and sisters, maybe this describes you today. You are here every week, sitting in the same seats, parking the same lots, spots, attending the same gatherings every day or every week, or regularly. But if someone asks you after church what was the sermon is about, you might reply, I don't really know. I can't even remember what's the first song we sing. Just like that, the seed is taken away by the bird. The word of God never takes roots in your heart. Brothers and sisters, is your heart hardened? Have you heard of the gospel so many times that it no longer moves you? Are you just going through the motions week in and week out? And are you tired of being in this status? And the good news is, Jesus isn't finished with you. A hardened heart isn't the end of the story. God can break up that hard soil. He can soften your heart if you let him. But it starts with recognizing the hardness of your heart and asking him for help. The don't just settle for being close to the farmer, but missing out on the life that he intended for you. Allow Jesus to do the work of softening your hearts, and let the word take roots in your heart and bring you life. And that's the first soil that we can get from the hard path. And let's look at the second soil, the rocky ground. What does it represent? Jesus explains it actually quite clearly to us in verses 20 to 21. He says, the seeds fall on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So what does it represent? It represents a heart that is shallow and not rooted deeply in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is someone who gets excited about it at first, but didn't stay strong when challenge comes. And what does this look like? Let me give you an example. You know, now we are in January, right? It's the first month of the year. And did you know what's so special about this month? All the gyms are packed with people. People are fired up about their New Year resolution to get fit. You know, they're there every day, every hour, full of energy and determination. But what happened by the end of February or March? You know, they change. They start coming 3 days a week, then once a week, and eventually they stop showing up altogether. I experienced that, okay? I'm guilty with that. Why? Why they are leaving? Why they're not consistent? Why they can't continue to come every day? Because excitement alone isn't enough. Real change requires discipline, commitment, and deep roots in their goals and vision. The rocky ground is like those New Year resolution gym goers. They start with passion and excitement, but the commitment doesn't go deep. These people might love worship song, enjoy the friendly community, and look forward to the lunch after church. But the faith hasn't gone deep. They might say things like, I love coming to church, I love the music and the sermons, but I'm not going to change certain part of my life. Or they may say, I believe in Jesus, we are good, but I don't want him to interfere me too much with my life. And as soon as the troubles comes, maybe their values at work clash with their faith. Maybe they face criticism for being a Christian. Maybe they're confronted with a choice between being faithful to God or fitting in with everyone else. When those moments comes, their excitement fades. They start skipping church, start reading the Bible, and slowly drift away. You see, brothers and sisters, the problem is not the seeds or the farmer. It is condition of the soil. If the land doesn't have enough soil, the plants cannot go deep and cannot be deeply rooted. And the plants without roots will fade, will die under the sun. In the same way, brothers and sisters, faith without roots will fade under pressure. And brothers and sisters, maybe this sounds familiar to you. Perhaps your faith in Christ starts with passion and excitement. But you have been avoiding the deeper work for letting Jesus to transform your life, transform the way you see the world, change some of your mindset. And now if you're honest to yourself, your faith feels weak and fragile. And again, the good news is Jesus is not done with you. He can help you grow deeper roots if you allow him to. But it starts with honesty to yourself and to God. Are there any areas in your life where you have been holding back from God? Are there parts of your heart that need deeper roots? Ask God to help you. Ask him to deepen your faith and strengthen your roots. Because a faith rooted in Christ is not shaken by trouble. It grows stronger through it. And that's something we learn from studying the second type of soil, Let's look at the third one, the thorny ground, a thorny land. What do the thorns represent? Verse 22, Jesus says, the seeds fall among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word but worries, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So the thorns represents two things, the worries in the life and the false promise of wealth. And the land crowned with thorns represents a heart that is crowded and distracted by all these things. It is a heart that wants to follow Christ, but yet it also wants to chase after everything else the world offers. It is a heart that tries to grow spiritually, but the space is overcrowded. Let me put it in this way. Imagine trying to plant a little plant in a garden that is already overrun by weeds. And at first, the flower will start growing. It will push through the soil, reaching for sunlight. But eventually, it stops. Why? Because the weeds block the sunlight and steal all the nutrients and water from the soil. The flower, the plants, will not grow properly, or it might even die in this scenario. This is what happened to a heart filled with distraction. Maybe it's the pressure of getting ahead of your career. You think, I will focus on God later. Right now, I need to build my career. Maybe it's an endless cycle of activities and responsibilities. The kids have sports. There are work deadlines. There's just no time left for God. Or it could be academic stress, you know? Exam season is here. I have to prepare for exams. I will show up at church later after all of this. These worries might not seem harmful on their own. In fact, they are very important. But the problem is, when they take up all the space in your heart, there's no room left for spiritual growth. And let's not forget about the deceitfulness of wealth. Many years ago, a young female participant on a Chinese TV dating show was asked by a guy, an employed guy, like whether she would ride a bicycle with him. And that is what she said. She said, I would rather cry in a BMW than smile on a bicycle. You know, it's funny, or we may have comments on her reply like at that moment. But I don't want to focus on the message of it, because it reveals to us a phenomenon. Money is weighted heavily in a lot of people's hearts. You know, growing up, we often hear people saying money gives us security, happiness, and freedom. We were told if we had a salary of such and such, then we would be happy. Or if we can afford that car, own that house, or save enough to retire early, then life would be perfect. So we work extra hours, sacrificing our time with friends and families and with God. All because we believe money would deliver its promise. Money will deliver the security, happiness, and freedom to us. But here is the reality. Even if we are lucky enough to become rich, we often realize that money will not affect our happiness in any meaningful way. Those are empty promises. It is not saying that these things, work, money, or family responsibilities are bad. They are important parts of our lives. But the problem is when they take the central place in our hearts, they often choke out our spiritual growth. They slowly grow around our hearts, squeezing out our trust in God. Instead of depending on Him, we depend on our bank accounts. Instead of seeking His kingdom, we seek financial security. Maybe this sounds familiar to you as well. You know you love Jesus, but at the same time, you are holding tightly to other things. And because of that, your faith feels lifeless. You feel stuck in your spiritual growth. And again and again, the good news is Jesus hasn't given up on you. He can help you to clear out those fronts if you allowed him to. But it starts first by recognizing them and asking God to help you to refocus your hearts. So brothers and sisters, are there fronts in your life that are crowding out your relationship with God? Are worries, ambitions, or distractions taking up more and more space in your heart than God? Is Jesus at the center of your life? That's the first soil. Then we go into the fourth one, the good soil. What does good soil represent? Verse 23, Jesus says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bear fruits and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. This is the one who hears the word and understands it." They represent a heart that is soft, that is open, that is ready to receive God's word. It is a heart that is moved by God's overwhelming love that is demonstrated in the gospel, and they are eager to respond to it. It represents those believers who don't just hear the word of the gospel and leave them aside. They embrace it, find ways to understand it, and allow it to change their work, their lifestyle, allow it to take roots deeply in their life. And what happens when the gospel, when the seeds lands in heart like this? It grows. It doesn't stay still. It bears fruits. And what kinds of fruits do they bear? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And what are they, brothers and sisters? These are the characters of Jesus Christ. So when the gospel takes roots in those who have a heart that is willing to obey, it turns them to become more like Christ. They start shifting from being self-centered to becoming more Christ-centered. They start showing kindness instead of bitterness, patience instead of frustration, and love instead of indifference. And here is something important to notice. Bearing fruits is not just a one-time event. It is not like planting a tree, seeing an apple and saying, "Great, I'm done." No. The good soil represents someone who allows the gospel to shape them, to transform them continuously. It is a heart that keeps saying yes to God over and over again. They are people of consistency. Their private life match their public life. They don't just look like a Christian on Sunday. They live out their faith every day. Like what we have seen, a life of worship. The faith is not just a performance, but a lifestyle. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, does this describe you? Are you the good soil? Or do you see yourself in one of the other soil we have talked about? You know, it's possible to sit here every Sunday hearing sermon after sermon and still walk out unchanged. It is possible to be at a church and still miss God completely. It is possible to feel passionate and excited about Christianity, but still avoid growing deeper trust in God and letting Him to change your life. It is possible to fill your heart with many worries, ambitions, and distractions, and that there is hardly any rooms left for God. So brother and sister, which soil are you right now? Which one describes your condition at the moment? It is a question for us to think of, particularly at the beginning of the year. But here is one thing that I have been speaking like many times, one thing that I want to you to take away no matter what status you are right now. Here is the message. God can still work on you no matter what your status are. And he is delighted to work with you. He can soften your heart, any hardened hearts, remove rocks, clear out fronts. But it starts with you being honest with God and with yourself. Jesus ends today's parable in verse 9 saying, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." In other words, don't just listen to the story and let it slip away or let it sink in. Are you ready to allow him to work in your heart? Are you ready and willing to become the good soil? May God help us.